thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Please turn to Philemon, and we'll read the whole book, the whole chapter, and the whole book is in the whole letter. And I think if you read it at normal speed, it's only about 4 minutes, but this is God's word, it's precious. So we're going to read the whole 25 verses, and I think it's only 300 and something words, but it's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, Philemon 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphiae and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I must be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is mine own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in the chains of the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, the beloved brother, especially to me, but much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with mine own hand. I will repay, not to mention you, that you may owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And we know that God always adds a blessing the reading of his precious word. We'll maybe say a wee prayer. Loving Father, we just come into your presence again right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for these songs of praise we've been singing, and Lord, for the testimony in that last one, that you're all of my life, you've been so faithful. All of my life, you've been so good. We thank you that we serve a good God tonight, and now, Lord, we're coming to your word. And we need help from heaven. We need that anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. And grant, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. For I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, just thinking about the meeting for tonight, this wee book of Philemon. Really, you know, I try to read through the Bible every year. But Philemon's probably one you read and move on. But last year, just the Lord stop me to think about this small letter that Paul wrote. And, you know, I was really encouraged in it. And I was just coming one time. I come originally from Fermanagh, as you know, and I was leaving a cousin that was home from Canada down to visit relatives, and coming up home again, or I was actually going to Port Stewart, and just different wee thoughts about Philemon, and the Lord bless me. So I'll not share them all tonight, but he gave me in my head about 35 P's, being a preacher. But you see someone there to start, Paul. Not talk about Paul tonight, but Paul was the penman. If someone calls this another a postcard, if you've seen that there, you could nearly write it all in a postcard, but it's charged with tremendous truths. And Philemon, and then this guy Onesimus, who is real the meaning of Onesimus is profitable, talks about prayers in it. And there's pictures in this, many, many P's we could go through in that wee book of Philemon, as you just read and ask the Lord to open it up and reveal to you by His Spirit. And just thinking about the meeting tonight, you know, the Lord just put four little thoughts in my mind. Because if you take the big picture of the book, you have three main characters. You have Paul, you have this guy Philemon, and you have this guy Onesimus. You see? And Philemon was a rich slave owner in those days, a businessman, and Onesimus left him and would appear, would have stole from him and headed off for about 1,000 miles and ended up in Rome and ended up meeting Paul while he was in prison, and Paul led him to Christ. And now Paul is sending Onesimus right back to Colossae where he came from, with a letter in his hands, asking Philemon to forgive him. Asking Philemon, because the situation was serious. Onesimus, as a slave, in that day and in that culture, in that context, he could have been imprisoned for it. His life could have been took for it. But here was Paul. He led this man to Christ. He seen he was genuinely and wonderfully saved. He would love to keep him, to help him in the ministry. But he knew the right thing to do was to send Onesimus back to Philemon. Put things right with him. And Paul is pleading with Philemon through this letter. Listen, forgive him. Put it all aside. He's now a child of God. Don't even look upon him as a slave. Look upon him as a brother. Receive him. Accept him into the assembly, because he used to be unprofitable, but he's now profitable both to you and me and to the things of God. What a wonderful change can be brought about through conversion, through salvation. And the big issue here in Paul, and many of the commentators say, is this is a tremendous letter of persuasion, a tremendous letter of appeal. And if you wanted something in a sensitive issue to write to someone, you should study how Paul crafted this letter to send it to Philemon to seek out and to ask forgiveness for Onesimus. And that brings me to the first wee thought, forgiveness. Forgiveness. And forgiveness is at different levels. And Paul wanted to persuade. He wanted to persuade Philemon to forgive this guy that once was a slave, this guy that used to work for him, this guy that would appear stole from him, this guy who cleared off and went to Rome and had done damage, and now he's sending him back and he says, I want you to forgive him. And he put pictures in this, and Paul, it wasn't hard to Philemon to read into what Paul was saying and to take it a higher level altogether, forgiveness. The first thing I want to say in the meeting tonight, we all need forgiveness. Just like Onesimus, whether we like it or not, we're slaves to sin. We're bound by Satan. And we need to be forgiven. And there's a tremendous picture here of forgiveness. Just as Paul was interceding, as it were, was standing the gap between Onesimus and Philemon to plead for forgiveness. It was very practical, because a lovely little thought in verse 18, it says, listen, if he has wronged you, put that on my account. And if there's anyone in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, there is a situation that you're separated from God. You could sit where Onesimus was. And then you could go over to Philemon, and you're the person that is damaged. Because the word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And there's a gap. And how is that going to be, that chasm, that gap, how is it going to be sorted out? And just like Paul, standing in the gap, the Lord Jesus came and he paid the debt that we owed. He stood in the gap and he came to Calvary. He left the ivory palaces of heaven. He left the Father's throne. He came to earth. He walked among men for 33 years. He lived a perfect life. He never committed one sin. And then he went to Calvary and he died. And there on the cross he paid a debt. The debt that you and I owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take it away. Then Christ Jesus came and paid the debt that I could never pay. How did he pay that debt? He shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary, that you and I might know our sins forgiven and have peace with God. And I think Paul was trying to point out to Philemon at another level. He was basically saying, listen, you know, and it would appear that when Paul was probably in Ephesus, that Philemon came to Christ through his ministry. And Philemon was gloriously and wonderfully saved. And you can see this, that there was a church in his house in Colossae. And he knew the picture that even though while Philemon would have been one time a heathen, one time a pagan, one time without hope and without God, he heard the glorious message of the gospel and was wonderfully, gloriously saved. And his sins were forgiven. And he was basically saying another level, if God in Christ has done that for you, then you need to do that for Onesimus. There's another level tonight and through life, and as I said, I'm heading for 69, and in life there are problems, family problems, church issues even, work issues, divisions and rows, and God would call us as believers to forgive. It's not always easy to forgive. And there could be someone tonight and you could be in the middle of that situation and God is calling you to forgive. When you think what God in Christ forgive you and I know he forgave me, a hell-deserving sinner. I know he forgave me who heard the gospel for over 21 years and rejected that message and turned me back on God and the way of salvation. And if God, and all of his love and his grace and his mercy, can forgive me. Listen, he can. Can I not forgive my brothers and sisters in Christ? Not easy always. The circumstance is not easy. But I want to tell you, if God in his mercy would send his dear son to pay the price through his precious blood for my sins, There's no bigger forgiveness you can get than the forgiveness of God. Then we too should have a forgiven spirit. Forgiven spirit. And if there's anyone outside of Christ tonight in this meeting, to know no matter where you are, where you're at, or what you did or what you didn't do, that there's forgiveness at the cross. There's reconciliation at the cross. Christ died in your behalf as your substitute. And just like Paul saying, listen, if he owes you anything, put it on my account. He says, I'm writing this with my own hand. I will repay. Just to understand tonight that the Lord has paid for your sin salvation at the cross of Calvary. There was a wee verse and was put in my heart Just when I was thinking of this, and it's found in Ephesians 4:32, and it says this, and be you kind, writing to the Ephesus church, be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, I'm glad I'm forgiven tonight. I'm glad that I know as a fact, not fronting that I done, but at a quarter to one night after a meeting like this, in 1978 on the 9th of October, at a quarter to one, when I came and bowed the knee and repented of my sin and told Jesus I was a sinner, might not mean it was simple words, but I knew I wanted to be saved, and I knew I was accepting him, that night he forgave me. And it's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. I tried to quote it, but I have it written here. I'll quote it to you. He paid the debt he did not owe. I own a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Christ Jesus paid the debt I could never pay. And there's another song I like that some of the sort of Southern gospel people sing. It says, like Onesimus, I ran away, and I guess I thought I'd never pay. For all my sin, where could I begin? But the hour came and I was found, the law had come and I was bound. I could not run, what could be done? Put that on my account, is what the Savior said. Put that on my account and cancel all my debt. And great was their amount, but now I'm free and glad. They're all on Christ's account. Is there an Onesimus in the meeting tonight? Is there someone and you never have came to Christ and you've never known forgiveness of sin? Well, we're still in the day of grace, and there's this tremendous invitation. Because Jesus promised, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you can be gloriously and wonderfully saved into this peace of God that passes all understanding, and know that my sins are forgiven. Well, the old account is settled now. And at Jesus' feet I humbly bow. Oh, bless his name, he bore my shame. But wait, there's even more than this. He has given me his righteousness. All this for me, how can it be? Makes me think again. All my life, God has been so faithful. And all my life, God has been so, so good. And one of those goodnesses is that the lovely Lord Jesus would forgive a hell-deserving sinner like me, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and know of assurance my sins are gone through the merits of the precious blood of Christ. It's wonderful to be forgiven. And just to run it past you again, for I have to run it past myself many a time, if God can do that, and I didn't deserve it, we need to be more forgiven as individuals and as people toward brothers and sisters in Christ and other people forgiven. But there was more. There was another wee thought came to mind because it was wonderful. There was freedom. Freedom. This guy was a slave. He was in bondage. He was so much enslaved, he wanted to get away from it, and he ran 1,000 miles, and he didn't really get away from it, because he ran into the arms of Paul, he ran into the gospel, he was saved. And here, in Rome, Paul, it says, he led him to Christ. Led him to Christ. He says in verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. Isn't that nice? Someone you lead to Christ that's really a spiritual child of yours. Whom I have begotten while in my chains. Just interesting, Paul was a prisoner. He didn't say I'm a prisoner of Rome, he said I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He says I'm a prisoner for the gospel. And even in that, we had liberty to meet people. It was a sort of a house arrest. It doesn't say how, but he came in contact with Onesimus, and he says, I have begotten while in the chains. That's a big word, begotten. It just means he was born again of the Spirit of God. Born again of the Spirit of God. Someone who was a slave. And as he sent him back to Philemon, he didn't send him back as a slave. He says, I want you to receive him. I want you to accept him not as a slave, but as a brother. Not as someone that you would have seen was unprofitable or useless, but now someone that is useful and profitable. He was set free. And Paul says, I have noted that. See, since he was begotten of God, see, since I pointed him to Christ, see, since he was saved, see, since he was born again of the Spirit of God, he's a different person. And he's no longer a slave. And again, the picture's clear. All of us, are bound by sin and Satan. We're slaves. Mightn't think it, but slaves. And we live today in more and more testimonies of addictions, all kinds of addictions. And you're bound by them. And here's the glorious message of the gospel. The Lord can set you gloriously and wonderfully free. By the way, not free to do what you like, but a freedom to live for him. A freedom to live for Christ, to live within his confines, to live within obedience, and have that peace of God, but to live in freedom. The Lord Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, you daren't talk about it now, but even in those 20 years, I loved, and this is not what I say, I loved a cigarette, you see. So I'd say I was addicted to nicotine. But can I say, when the Lord saved me, he set me free. And I have heard testimonies down through the years of all kinds of addictions. Alcohol addictions. Drug addictions. Work addictions. Well, I have my phone with me, so I'm not addicted by the phone. But addicted to the... And the Lord can set you gloriously and wonderfully free. And there's nothing like freedom there is in Christ. Free to worship him. Free to rise on a Monday morning and go to your work knowing as well of my soul. Free to live for Christ. It's a liberty. It's a liberty to know if something would happen, well, it's well with my soul. It's absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's a freedom. Some people think, you see, to come to Christ, it binds you. Not at all. It sets you gloriously and wonderfully free. There's a freedom about it. There's a joy about it. There's a liberty about it. And it's something that Onesimus understood. I think this watch here is going fast, Philip, but it's all right. You might need to get it serviced. But here, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I have a wee track here. I just want to tell you about it. It's a wee thing we're doing down south. And it's particularly around the 17th mark, free at last. One of the best known slaves in Ireland was Patrick. Irish slave finds freedom. The Patrick story is our story. I'm going to read it some to you because you might even, if you wanted some of these, I can give them to pass on to your friends around the 17th of March. But here, as a teenager, Patrick was captured by slave traders, taken away from his home in Britain and forced to herd sheep on a remote mountain in Ireland. Now, if you're up here, they say they're Slemish, but there's a wee question mark. Doesn't matter, he did. It was during his 6 year enslavement that he turned to God in prayer and experienced a profound change in his heart, one that transformed his life forever. And Patrick tells his story, his testimony, and what's known in the confession. And he says, before I was brought low, I was like a stone lying in deep mud. Then he was mighty came and in mercy pulled me out. He lifted me up and placed me on the top of a high wall. And God saved Patrick in Ireland on a mountain, enslaved, and set him free. And the story goes on. He finally escapes and gets back home. And then the Lord calls him back to the very people that enslaved him to come and preach the gospel in Ireland. And it wasn't easy, but God set him wonderfully free. And then after explaining all how Patrick came free through Christ and set him free and became a minister of the gospel and came back to Ireland, if you read his story, you'll find he was a saved man. But coming down to the day, firstly, the Bible reveals that we all have a twofold problem. Every one of us has turned away from God. We have all sinned. And because of this, everyone is guilty and everyone is enslaved. The heart of each person is bound by chains of sin, and no one can free themselves from these chains. And then John 8:34, Jesus Christ himself said, "Verily, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave of sin." Are you enslaved tonight? God can set you free. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came to deal with both the penalty and power of sin. He came to the very people who hated him and willingly gave up his own life on the cross so that the punishment for sin was on him instead of us who deserved it. On the cross, Jesus was given the sentence of death that we were bound for. And because he defeated death when he rose from the grave, Jesus Christ also has the power to free us from the enslaving power of sin. A freedom from sin and from death, from power and penalty, freedom from the judgment of God, freedom to love God as a friend and a savior, no longer an enemy. Patrick was set free. He was bound by the fear of slave traders. He was enslaved to a life of resentment and bitterness towards them. He was truly set free to radically love them as Jesus Christ loved those who crucified him. Patrick was not a survivor. He was triumphant by God's grace. I'll not read it all, but I'm going to tell you here at the end. Freedom awaits. Freedom awaits. Have you been set free tonight? Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. An old Onesimus, this slave, was set free through the gospel. Now, it doesn't actually say, but the very fact that we have Philemon in the Word of God would indicate that Philemon did forgive him. And there's actually, in church history, evidence that he became a mighty man of God, if it was the same Philemon. But he was set free. I wonder tonight, are you free? Are you forgiven? Another wee hymn says, "So long I searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid. I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free. Praise the Lord. Free at last." Are you free tonight? Are you forgiven tonight? Have you freedom in Christ tonight? Much more we could say, but I just want to say, you know, when the Lord saves you, not only the forgiveness and this freedom in Christ, but you're brought into a family. Paul no longer says this is a boy, a slave. He says to Onesimus, listen, he was born. I led him to Christ. I would see him as a spiritual parent. And I want you to receive him back now as a brother. And that's a lovely thing in the church to say, you know, tonight, if you're saved, you're my brother. You're my sister. There's no bond. There's no free in that sense. There's no male. There's no female in that sense in the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're in the family and fold of God. And that's what happened to Onesimus. And that's what was presented to Philemon. Just no longer you don't receive him back. He says, don't you receive him back as a slave. Yes, my brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. He says, you just say, accept Onesimus no longer as the boy that stole from you, no longer as a slave, but you receive him back as a brother into the assembly, into the church of God. It's wonderful, you see, when the Lord saves you as I heard from this platform on many years ago, it was put like this: there's no big people. There's no wee people. There's no high and mighty people. When you come into this lovely family of God, and we have our flaws, when you're into the family of God, there's none to beat it. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're to love one another, care for one another, pick one up another when we're down, forgive one another, be tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another, go round to the Lord's table and remember us, die in love together, come to church and sing us praises together, help each other when they're sick, someone's down, come alongside them, some backslidden, restore. It's a family. It's the family of God. Much you could say that, but we do believe that Philemon was accepted into the church at Colossae and became a brother and sister. And there was a slave owner, and there was a slave in the same church. But they were, and see, when it came round into the Lord's presence, into the family of God, they were brothers and sisters in Christ. Another wee song for you. Will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these are so near. When one is a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed in the blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel the sod, for I'm part of the family of God. Now, I was part of this family for 15 years, seeing the children in Sunday school, worked in the youth fellowship, was a deacon, the family of God. And there's odd wee turbulences here and there. But I never think of those. I think of the family of God. I think of all the lovely people I met over those years that still can come in and say, you're my family. There's nothing to beat the family of God. And one day, the whole rough ends is going to be knocked off us and we'll be perfect in glory. Isn't that good? There's nothing to beat the family of God, young people. If you're outside the family of God tonight, there's a welcome in to forgiveness and a freedom in Christ and a joy in the family of God. And may watch is finished now. There was one other word, and I've dwelt a bit on this, and we're still in January 2026, and we're forgiven. We're free in Christ. We're the family of God, but are we fruitful? And I use that word loosely because you see Paul said to Philemon about Onesimus. He says, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. Actually, Onesimus, the name Onesimus, that would mean profitable. And for young people, older people, what age, every age of parent, I'm asking this question, are you fruitful? As we go into 2026, are you profitable? Now I haven't the time to go through it all, but here's some of the ways you can profitable. You know what you profit from? I'll read you a few of the verses and you can work out if you're profitable or not. Are you fruitful in the things of God? And I could do with this one. One of them in 1 Timothy 4:8-9. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And you know, to lead a godly life, and I have met many godly people, it's just to live for the Lord. Just to be there. Just to read His word. Just to pray. Just to get into the things of God and live for God. You need to exercise that. It doesn't matter whether it's a university, school, workplace, home, on the farm, wherever. Just am I profitable? And then another profitability. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Let 2026 to get into the Word and get to these Bible studies in Romans 12 or wherever you mentioned. Get into the things of God. It's profitable to you. And then there's a guy mentioned in that, and I can't go into it, Mark. And Mark's interesting. There's a book in the Bible he wrote. But one time Paul sent him home, he says he's no use. And Barnabas took him under his wing. And then near the end of Paul's life, he said this. He said, only Luke is with me, but would you take Mark and bring him with you? For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Young people, you can be profitable under God. Perhaps there's someone in the fellowship and they're away from God and you feel they let you down. Why not get alongside them and mentor them and encourage them and get them back into the word and back into the fellowship and back into service? That's what Barnabas did. Paul says, you see, there was a time I sent Mark off the mission field. But down the line, he says, he's now profitable to me in the ministry. So many things we can be profitable in the things of God. And you only can be profitable to God, by the way, if you're saved. The Bible says, what does it profit a man? What does it profit a man? A boy or a girl or a teenager? What does it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Be profitable in 2026. If you're not saved, therefore you start. And then start serving the Lord. Over to you, Stephen. Now maybe have a wee prayer just beforehand over to you. Maybe somebody not saved in the meeting tonight. This is the night. This is the night to step across the line. Perhaps you haven't been functioning in the things of God and the work of God, even in this assembly. This is the night to say, Lord, you see 2026, I was useless up today. I'm going to become profitable and do something about it. Lord, I just leave the word with you tonight. Thank you again, Lord, for your word, your precious word. It stands forever through. When I, the Lord, shall see the blood, I will pass over you. Bless the word to our heart. Bless this lovely gathering of people. If there's any not saved, save them by their grace and do it tonight, Lord. And Lord, for those of us that say we belong to you, help us to be profitable and fruitful in 2026. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.